Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. Everybody knows that, or they should know that, right? Anyways, we have an awesome guest, but I'm not going to bring him in just yet. I want to tell everybody about the magazine, Mystic Living Today. Of course, let's see, it's the 11th, so in about a week or so, I'll be sending out reminders, and sometimes I don't even have to send them out, at least not very many, because everybody just submits the same people, so lots of new people, and every time I have somebody on the show, I get something, you know, either an excerpt from their book or something. So it keeps everything going constantly for me. I'm never without, you know, things to go in the issue. So I'll be doing that. And it usually, well, it does go up on the first of the month, always. Whether I have it done or not, it goes up. So that's okay, you know, because sometimes I have to put in some, you know, things like, you know, excerpts or something that come in late, or somebody writes, an author writes a little bit late. Oh, I couldn't put this together. I'm sorry. It's a second. No, that's okay. I put them in anyways, as everybody knows by now. Also, stars with a Z, psychics.com. Everybody knows about that. Why was it named Stars? Well, my name is StarsCast, so kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Which I got that name back, when I worked for America Online. I had to come up with something, and that's what I came up with StarsCast. But I think you're going to enjoy my guest today. He has such an extensive background, and I'm going to let him talk all about what he's done and how he worked with a very famous man, and you're going to know his name right away. So anyways, without further ado, I welcome John Steele. How are you today, John?
I'm very well, thank you, and I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy. Okay, well, we're going to get right into this because this is going to be pretty extensive because John wrote a book called Caged Lion, Joseph Pilates and His Legacy. Well, but it's not only just about him, right, John? It's like a memoir. It's like, what inspired you to do this book?
Well, let me answer your first question first. It is somewhat of a memoir of a piece of my life, and that piece being my time with Joe Pilates for a few years before he died, and then my involvement in the life and death, that really it was more death and life, of Pilates in the what now is becoming pretty close to 50 years or 60 years after his death. So the book is sort of a memoir, sort of a history, and I try to make it, you know, an enjoyable read for people, certainly enjoyable for people who are involved with Pilates. And I thought, I was hoping, and it seems to be working, that people are just reading the book you know, for the story, that too seems to be working. What made me write the book was your second question,
mm-hmm.
I think. Right, Natalie? Was that what you asked me? Why did I write the book? Well, I wrote the book, you know, I'm a lawyer, and I've been practicing law since 1959, and I never thought about writing a book, but I started to lecture. I was invited to a Pilates Method Alliance convention in 2007. And I was the keynote speaker, and all of a sudden, the Alliance was only 3 years old at that time, but all of a sudden, they got interested in the history of Pilates. They got interested in the man, Joseph Pilates, and they found me in Colorado, and I went to Florida for this lecture, which was 40 years after his death. And I was quite moved and surprised by the attendance. There were, you know, 300-400 people there from 14 different countries. And that was a sharp contrast to the 50, maybe 100 people in the entire world who knew who he was when he died. You know, that was amazing. They were all teachers. And I just started to tell stories about Joe and Clara and my experience in life with them. And it worked out great. I mean, they wouldn't let me stop. We got thrown out of the ballroom at the hotel.
Ah.
We went out to the lobby and we kept talking. So people kept saying, oh, you got to write a book. And I didn't take it too seriously for a while, but then I started. And once I started something in my life, I try to finish it. And it took me years. But that's why I wrote it.
Now, you were his attorney. How did you meet him in the first place? How did this begin?
That's sort of an important part of the book. My mother and father went to him. My mother originally went to him through a classmate of hers in college who was a choreographer.
Okay.
And she just went to him not to fix anything. And she fell in love with what was then called Tantrology, which we now call Pilates. But she was very taken by him. And then she got my father to go, and she loved the work. And my mother was not an athlete of any sort. She was a very beautiful and she's fit, but she was not athletic. But she loved the work, and she kept pestering me because I had a chronic stiff neck, and she kept pestering me to go to this man to get my neck fixed. But my mother also, and my father as well, they had all of these kind of offbeat things they got deeply involved with, people who conjured up other people who have figured out how to make your wish come true. And I thought, and I was certainly reasonable in thinking so, that this guy, Joseph Pilates, was just another one of their crackpot affectations. And that's, I resisted. And I didn't go to him really to fix my neck. I went to him to get my mother off my back. She just was relentless. And that's an important chapter in the book of my meeting him and my very negative thoughts, which he completely turned around in very short order, and what happened after that. Yeah.
So he sounds like he was a determined man, but there was but he was really nice. I mean, did he know what he had created? Did he have any idea how big this turned out to be?
Yes. Well, first place, he was not nice.
Oh, he wasn't nice. Well, he was German.
That's not fair.
I'm kidding.
Very, very difficult, very idiosyncratic, very obsessive, very, very, very difficult to deal with on any level. But he had genius qualities, some of them. And the other part, which is, did he have any idea? There was only one person, maybe two, for sure one, who thought that his system of exercise had universal appeal. And that was Joseph Pilates. The other exception could be his wife, to whom he was not married, but he considered her his wife, Clara. But no one else did. We all, you know, the story in the book about how it continued and how a group of us who were doing Contrology at the time, how we continued it. We didn't continue it for any reason related to the thought, oh boy, the whole world should be doing this. It's really universally important, and it's a basic kind of system that works so well. We did it because we wanted to keep doing it ourselves. It was all selfish.
Yeah, it became like exercise is today of any kind. Sometimes you get obsessed. You know, but with Pilates, though, John, it takes a while to really see any results, doesn't it?
No.
Or doesn't it? No? Okay.
I don't think so. Think when you say see, maybe. But it takes maybe 45 minutes to feel results. And that is actually what keeps you going, not what you see, but how you feel, feel about yourself. And that's the magic that keeps people coming back at the beginning. They feel deep in their psyche that, wow, this is something important for me. And this is something that helps me and will help me. They don't see anything. You don't lose weight necessarily. You certainly don't see your muscles or your
core. No, but you do gain muscle, but it's of the kind that you look more lean. You it's with your core, and you don't. You don't have these bulging, you know, arms and all of that. It's, you know what it reminds me of? A ballerina. Because if you look at them, they're on their toes. I mean, and they're so slender, but look what they can do. And, you know, I do chair Pilates, but it's not the same. As a matter of fact, it's kind of boring for me. Not that it's, now I know I can feel it like a couple of days later or so, but I've been wanting, and I'm hoping this group, most of this group is listening, but I've been wanting to get the chair that they have that is so similar. Now his original, or whoever developed it for him, was very costly, or is very costly, I believe. Now, you could tell me I'm wrong. I don't know. But people that are listening and will listen to this are probably thinking, well, you know, I want to see results. But you're right. You will see results. You'll feel results. And in time, you will see results. But it's not like gaining muscle. That's not what that's about, correct? Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's really kind of just the way you move in life, the way you walk, the way you hold your body, your posture,
yes.
The way you wash dishes, the way you drive your car. I mean, Pilates is movement based. So all your life movements become easier and smoother and more graceful and less threatening. You don't have to worry about hurting your back when you pick up your suitcase or whatever
it is you
do. That's right,
yeah.
So but the basis of the attraction is not anything that you see, and it's really very little that you feel from a session. It's very deep. It's the ability to focus for whatever time you spend at it. If you go for one or two sessions a week for 45 minutes. It's that period of time where you are so concentrated on how your body works, how it moves, that has a very important psychological benefit. It's not like the endorphins from running, although there is a piece of that in here, or any of those. It's the loss of your conscious self for that short period of time within your body. And that's, look, there's probably 20 million people in the world doing Pilates.
Oh, yes.
So
and there's some you know, actresses that have been on TV. I can't even think of her name. But it lengthens, well, this is my concept. It somehow lengthens your muscles. It doesn't make you taller, but you know what I'm saying? It streamlines your muscles. It doesn't bulk it up. It doesn't do any of that. I mean, you can tone your arms, your legs, your whole body, and now, like you said, though, you may not see it for a while. I mean, it may take months before all of a sudden one day you look in the mirror and say, "Oh my God, look at my arms! I can't believe it." And I think if you go with it and have that kind of attitude, you're going to be successful at it. Now, why did he ask you to be his attorney? I mean, how did this relationship begin?
Oh,
I love talking to you, by the way.
Pardon me?
I said, I love talking to you.
Oh, okay. How did the relationship begin?
Yeah.
Well, you know, as I sort of alluded to earlier, it started off certainly on the wrong foot for both of us. I thought he was a quack and a fraud. And he probably thought I was one of those, semi-rich kids, highly educated,
yeah,
preppy jerk. And
John the jerk. How funny are you?
and we crossed that barrier, at least in my case, towards him. I would say I crossed that barrier within minutes. I just dropped my attitude once he took over. And he did take over. He took my entire personality over and controlled me absolutely. And yet, you really, I can talk about it, but it's much more clearly expressed in the book. It's the only analogy, and you can bristle at this, but the only analogy is when you watch a super great dog trainer or even horse trainer take over an animal, take over a dog. They just have that ability to get that animal, that dog, concentrating on them, and that's what he did. And so that changed pretty quickly. It changed on my part, as I say, very quickly. On his part, again, it's very hard to be precise about this, to give you an answer that kind of makes sense, but he sensed something from me, and what he sensed from me is something he needed. He needed somebody to take care of his wife if and when he died. He needed someone to kind of pass the buck to. One of his great deficiencies was he never trained anyone to take over. He never trained anyone to teach, really. He had no one. He was 83 at the time. He wasn't in great health, but he thought he was, and he pretended he was. And he just had this feeling he'd live forever. And, he didn't do anything, but somewhere deep in his thinking, I showed up, and that became for him I became not a grandson, but sort of like a grandson. And that's how we broke through this kind of mutual distaste of each other. And then he just started inviting me to take walks with him, to come up and have a beer with him. And I was never his attorney. I was Clara's attorney. I was the Pilates attorney after Joe died for quite some time. But I never represented him. And there's a very funny little story in the book about a time when one of his assistants started to steal his clients, and how he handled his legal matter in far more efficient way than any lawyer ever could. So, no, I was not his attorney. I was his friend in some ways. I was his grandson.
He trusted
in some
you.
Ways. Yeah, he did.
He trusted
I
you.
I trusted him. Yeah.
You know, now, him. He died in 1967. So what did he die from? I mean, he had, and I read somewhere that he lost his eye, right? He lost an eye. And, it's what I'm thinking here. I'm sitting here listening. It's almost like here's this man who was born and had all of these things going on with him. It was almost like he had to do something that would take his mind totally off any problem he had or was coming. I mean, but because to be that focused, you have to be focused. When you do that, when you do Pilates, it's not like going to the gym and lifting a weight and, talking to everybody and all of that, ha-ha. It's not like that. I mean, it's serious work. It's serious.
Yes.
Do you do Pilates? Or did you?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I do it. I take a lesson once a week, and I have a reformer, a chair, a springboard, and a couple other gadgets, and I do it myself and take a class, yeah.
And you've probably been doing it for years, right?
Well, since 1963, it comes out to be 37 and 21. That's, what, 58 years. That's a hell of a long. Who is it?
No.
What are you doing for that long?
I know. What's wrong with you? No. That's awesome. That's awesome. Before I scheduled this with you or we got together, I told I think it was Missy that is your, who's your publicist? Was it Missy? Missy Hatfield?
No. My publicist was Barbara Teresa. I forget her last name. Barbara.
Yes. Well, I kept thinking, oh, gosh, I want to have him on the show because Pilates is so now. I mean, more so, and it's, you can do it at home. You can do it at home if you have the equipment. But what have you seen these chairs, these Pilates chairs? What do you think of them?
Oh, I think almost all of the equipment, even the, there's a lot of cheap stuff that's made, inexpensive stuff. And then there's the commercially available stuff that the public buy. I think most Pilates equipment is very good. About doing it at home, yes, you can. You can get tapes and, go online and get a ton of stuff. You can see great teachers teaching classes. And we all went through a lot of that during the worst of the previous COVID time. We may be going
right
through it again. But the best thing really is for a while in person. There's something that comes across. Pilates teachers, by and large, are extremely well-trained, very sensitive. Many, many of them come from the ballet world. They have been taking class all their lives. They've become very good at the body, the human body. They're very good at teaching. And that kind of attention early on helps you sort of get it. You don't get. You feel good right away, but you don't understand this sort of subconscious subtlety that Pilates is for a while. And then you get it. You start to understand that something even beyond your conscious thinking that has to do with how you move. And how you move is all you do in life. I mean,
yeah,
you move. You don't do
exactly
much else.
Exactly. And I think you're right. When you're in a class and you learn the right way to do things, to do it, the instructor will come say, no, this is the proper way to do it so you get the most benefit. I think
right,
that's true, because you can, there's like in this group, I mean, they have all these free classes you can attend, but every time I see somebody doing it, I think of a ballerina. I think of somebody who's so gentle. And they appear to be frail. Now, the key word is appear to be frail, but they really aren't. I mean, I'm 102 pounds, 5'2". Talk about frail. Yes, I'm small-boned and all of that. But I've been talking to my son about it. I really think it would be beneficial for me just because. I mean, you streamline yourself. And look at these dancers. They use those bars and everything. Look at their form. Look how they walk. Look how they, like you said, they do everything. It's always flowing with them.
That's right.
of course, now, you know, John, I'm not going to go dancing around on my toes. No. although one time I thought about taking a class, and then I thought, you'd probably fall on your face and break your nose or something stupid, and you couldn't do that. So I never ventured off into that. Did he teach a lot of people in his time?
Yeah, over the course of, he got to this country in 1927, 29, and he began doing his contrology pretty much that time. So he taught, for 37, something like that, years. Over the course of time, he did teach a lot of people, but in terms of today, no. Maybe he taught 1,000 people over that a period of time. He had some very famous students. He had George Balanchine, who was, premier ballet choreographer in the world. He had Maria Callas, singer. He had a considerable number of actors and actresses. It's a very small number compared to what's going on currently.
It's not a very big facility, but we have something here in town. I'm in a southern town, and I think it's maybe a couple of years old. I don't know. I used to see a lot of stuff about it, but I don't anymore. It just seems to be it's the best way to do things rather than lifting weights. Men and women, but especially women, because women will say, well, I don't want to do that because I don't want my arms to get really big. Well, you see, that's the issue. Women like to maintain their, they want to have style and they want to look nice. And, well, then do Pilates if that's what you want to do. If you want to end up being more lean and all of that, that's what you need to do. I mean, don't you agree, John? I mean, I would do things like that. My son had his Bowflex here and all that. I mean, I ride a bike. I haven't ridden my bike in a while because I just was not. I think the COVID shot, the vaccination did a number on me. I had no ambition. I had no energy. I just didn't feel like doing it. Now, today I feel really almost back to normal. But I think that's something that I will really seriously look into. And you're never too old to start this, correct? I mean, you can be young, you can be older, right? I mean, so long as you can walk and talk, is what my son says. If you can walk and talk, you're doing good. but I think so, right? I think it's for any age, right?
Sure. But let me say this. Yes, it's good for women. No question it's good for women. And even better for men. Men tend to get to have worse posture as they age, to become more inflexible.
Yes.
And they're the ones. When in my day, there were more men than women in Joe's gym at the time, and now it would be a studio. But and today, it's quite the opposite, although I will say from my travels around and, promoting it, and seeing studios and teachers and all that, men, older men, not quite my age, I'm 86, but older men tend to come to it. In many cases, it's their wives or their girlfriends, particularly if they have a lot younger girlfriends, say you got to do this. So they go, and all of a sudden they start to feel better and more in command of their movements and their posture and their sex life, and they flock to it once they get into it, and they're starting, it's starting to really become more popular with men. Everyone can benefit from it. Young athletes, the gymnasts do
it. Oh, yeah.
We're talking really young kids. Ballet dancers, it's Pilates is almost the standard warm-up of every ballet company in the world. They don't call it Pilates, but what they do, even the bar work, it has a lot of Pilates in it. Athletes, golfers, hairdressers, I can't tell you, people who, you know, sit a lot in offices. It's just good for everybody. And, it's not something you should go into thinking, oh, I'm going to look better, or I'm not going to get muscles. A couple of stories in the book will interest you in that. It's something you go to because you want to feel better about your life and how you get through it, really.
Exactly. And who knows, you might even add, you have longevity because of it, because of this. A lot of it is a mindset with how we feel and how we look at things. And see, I think Pilates can cover so many areas. I mean, it helps your mind, it helps your balance, it helps, you know, the how you feel inside, and also it's in your mind too. I mean, you've got to feel, if you're older now, I'm talking like, say somebody's in their 70s or something and they want to do this because for whatever reason. Well, I bow to them because I think that's the greatest thing that you can do. No matter how much you do, it doesn't matter. Just do something. Do it. You know, get off your tush and do something. That's what happens. And most of the people, and I have to say this, in the United States, are overweight. John, there's studies on it. The percentage is so high, it's unreal. I'm not, of course, when I tell you how big, little I am, but I'm a small frame. The most I've ever weighed was 119 pounds. And I had a doctor, because I was getting pneumonia all the time, and I had a doctor, I sat on the table, and he looked at me, and it was in the summer, and he said, oh, we're putting you on a diet. I said, why? I mean, I never even thought of it. He said, look at the size of your legs already. 10 years from now, you're going to be a walking blimp. So, but you see what happened with me is the first 2 weeks I lost 8 pounds, but that's when they were giving out diet pills. I didn't even want to eat.
Yeah,
I had no desire to eat. So, but you see, that was the method that they used then. But what it did for me, I probably would be really good at Pilates, because what it did for me is I realized what I could do. I went down to like, 108 pounds. Well, I lost, so it was 119, and I lost 8 pounds the first 2 weeks. And then I can't even remember, but I just kept losing it. It was really easy. Because the pills were not good for you, but I didn't take them that long. I didn't have to. It changed the way about food for me, totally. I mean, I could have been anorexic, because what happens, it does something to you. Those, I'm so glad they're not on the market, but so those pills, they rev you up, but you don't even realize it. All you know is you'll think, well, what did I have today? Oh, I had a piece of toast. That's all I had. Oh, okay. You know, it changes your mind. I mean, it does something.
Yeah.
So I was so glad because I went in to see him. He said, well, this is enough. You can handle this all on your own. I thought, thank you, God, because I would look at everything and think calories and, oh, no, I don't want to eat that. Because it does something to your brain. It changes you. It just changes you. But this is not a brain, well, it's a brain food of sorts, but it's a healthy thing. It's not, I mean, I'm sure there are some that go crazy doing this. I mean, they don't think that, well, you know, you don't have to be obsessed with it. But I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just based on the questions you've asked me, I think your audience, you know, will enjoy the book. It addresses all these peculiar questions, like what is it really all about, and where did it come from, and what was he like, and how does it feel? How did it feel to be taught by him? He had a very particular way of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pilates instructors who I speak to lectures and go to conventions, or did a lot before, and I have started a few again, they love this book because it helps them.
It's Barbara Tesler was the publicist. I looked her up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote her right away. I said, you know, that I would love to interview him if that's possible, because sometimes people are not reachable. But the publicists could do anything. I know I've got so many of them that I would like to interview this one. Oh, hey, how about this one? Or sometimes they'll send me, believe it or not, John, they'll send me something like a press release to put in my magazine, right? So I start reading this, and I start thinking, this would be a great guest on my show. I mean, you know, I just think it would be good for everybody to listen to. Like hearing you. You have so much inner strength. I can hear it in your voice. It doesn't matter how old you are. And that attests, I think, to what you've done with your body, with your mind. And you don't sound like John the Jerk to me.
Well, it's what Joe saw, I think. You know, well-dressed, young New York lawyer, arrogant little jerk. And,
yeah. Arrogant little twit. Well, but you had everything to be arrogant for. You were educated. You know what I'm saying? And so you had to toot your own horn. Why not? Right? And I'm sure you were nice. You just sound so nice. I don't think people don't really change, John. We know that. You know, if you're nasty, you're going to stay nasty. Me, I'm just so giving. I give everything. That's what I do. It's just makes me feel good inside. So, yes. But now this book is on Amazon, correct? I'm sure it is.
Oh, yeah.
Cage Lion.
I don't do this as anything against Amazon, but your local bookstore, if you still have one, that's the place to go for the book, because they might not have it in the window or on the shelf.
But it'll be on the shelf. Yes. No, I know what you're talking about. Yes. Yes.
Our
big bookstore is in Savannah. I'm not far from Savannah, Georgia. I'm in South Carolina. I'm about 10 minutes from Savannah, from the river.
In Hendersonville, North Carolina.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That was considered the South then. I think North Carolina kind of moved a little more toward being the North lately. But
yeah, that's true.
South Carolina is still the South.
It is. And, you know, I'm originally from Michigan, Detroit. I'm a Motown girl. But, you know, I played tennis. I was thinking about that. I just wish I could play tennis again. I don't think I could run like I used to, but, I loved it, to have a good workout like that, just running and hitting a ball. And I was fortunate. I worked in a small club, and then I went to a bigger one and worked there with the head pro. I had a nice job. Didn't pay a lot of money, but the people, I mean, you could tell, and I look back and I think about it, I was perfect for it because I love people. I love to solve problems, and I like to make your life simpler. And that, you know, and I wanted to be a nurse. And my doctor said, "Oh my God, you could have been a doctor." And my cardiologist said, "Well, I have a lady who's 65 who became a nurse." I said, "Oh, Dr. Lawton, please, no." But then, you know, John, I have to ask you this: who encouraged you to go into law? Because, I mean, you're older than I am, but when I was growing up, of course, I'm a woman. I was not encouraged to do anything but get married and have kids, right? How is it you got your feet wet in law? I mean, what made you do that?
Well, that's an interesting question that no one in the last year of when I've had tons of these interviews and stuff has asked me that. I went into law for, well, my father, I have one brother. My father always wanted to be a lawyer himself, but somehow he got discouraged, and I think by my mother. But so there was always that. And then I went to college, and I was an engineer, and I liked it. I was very good at science and very good at math and all of the engineering subjects. But I took a course as part of the liberal arts requirement for engineers, like they ought to be able to read and write, by a professor named Alpheus Mason. And he was a great American Constitution scholar and taught a dynamic course. And I said to myself, hell with this engineering stuff. I'm going to be a lawyer. And that's what I did.
Wow. Awesome. I mean, you know, see, just because of the way you were when you were young, I mean, really young. I mean, I don't think of us as old. I mean, age is just a number. And my son, you know what my son says to me? Every time I have a birthday, he says, "Mother, you're walking and talking and you're healthy. That's all we need." And that is the truth.
There's a lot of my parts that are worn out that I wish weren't. And, I think age is definitely something, and it's not bad. It's just what it is.
That's
and
right.
You have to adjust to it. And there's certain things I cannot do now that I loved doing, and there's other things that I'm enjoying doing now that I didn't have time or the mind for when I was a lot younger. But Pilates isn't one of them. I've been doing it since the time I was in my almost 30s to now. There you go.
Now, tell me, how did he pass away? What happened to him? People are saying he was in great shape.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you to read the book.
Okay.
I really am. It was a very important thing for me, and and I worked quite hard at trying to tell the story of the end of his life, in a good way. So,
read
the book.
Okay. So everybody out there, read the book. Cage Lion, Joseph Pilates and his legacy. Yeah, most people don't even, they've heard of his name, but they don't really realize the background. you know, when I think about his name, I think of somebody who's very fierce, who had, he had these ideas, and nobody was going to take him away from that path as he was on. But we all know, John, that, you know, doors opened for us. Something happened for him that he got so determined. Maybe it was to change his body. Maybe it was to feel good. But I want to know, and I have to get the book, how he decided, how he started developing these movements. Maybe he saw a ballet, maybe something like that. Something inspired him. Do you know what it was?
Yeah. But I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Oh, you're a brat.
I have
now, John, you got to be nice now, you know. No, I'm kidding. I'll read the book. I really, really will.
The struggle that I went through in the book to undo all the myths about Joseph Pilates.
Yeah.
And to come up with a coherent theory,
yes.
Because there is no record. He kept, and you understand that when you read the book, he kept no records. He wrote four books that don't say anything, really, and he didn't write them himself. And I worked very hard on trying to answer what you have asked as a very reasonable, appropriate question. And I had it from day one, once I started this lecture business, which isn't a business, I don't get paid, this lecture stuff. It's a very hard question. I've had to piece together a lot of stuff. I think I've come up with a very reasonable theory. And I will tell you, among the thousands of teachers who have read the book, not one of them has disagreed with this theory. So that kind of gives me a lot of confidence.
Yeah, very complex man, but certainly, you know, his name is just out there. I mean, it's not ever going to go away. This is just...
that's true.
Yeah, you know, yeah. The myth, the man, no, the... You know, and you know what? He's been kind of a mystery to most people. Now, your book explains a lot about him, I'm sure. But people really, I've been doing this like I've been doing this 10 years. It'll be 10 years. I never ran across anybody or anything about him. I just admired what Pilates was about. I don't know. And I never thought about him. I didn't even ask. But, you know, I got this feeling that he was determined. He may have had something to him when he was young. Something happened. Something put him on this path. And I hope it's in the book, John. It better be, because I'm going to be emailing you and say, hey, what's the deal here?
Okay. Listen, if you don't find it in the book, you've got my email. You know where to get me. You know I answer. Please do that.
Yes, I have your phone number.
Wait
too.
A minute.
Okay, John, what's
question.
The deal on this? This doesn't make any sense to me, right? But yes.
Right.
Oh my goodness. I got to get a hold of Barbara. I got to get this book. I mean, I thought maybe she sent it to me, but I don't think so. I will certainly look. Because I would have read it, you know.
Come on. Spring for the $14. You'll have it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. You're just such a delight. Huh?
If you go to Barbara and ask for a book, she's going to send a request to me. and it's going to go all around the horn, and eventually, you know, I get out my stamp machine, my envelope, I'm the mail room here. So go to Amazon.
Yeah, not only that, though, John, you would autograph it for me.
Oh, sure.
See?
Sure. Yeah,
see?
But, yeah.
There's a method to my madness.
Yeah, okay. Well, get a book, mail it to me, read it, mail it to me, and give me a return envelope. You know, I make so little money on a book. The United States postal rate for a book.
A book rate, yeah. No,
rate,
I know, a book
$2,
rate.
$2.73.
How's the sales
doing? Huh?
How's the sales of the book doing?
I make $2.68 on the book. It costs me 5 cents to mail a book that I don't get any royalty on. How's it going? It's the number one Pilates book for now over a year. It sells very steadily. It's translated into Czech, Korean. It's almost done in Russian. It's done in Italian. It's going into Spanish and Portuguese. I'm very gratified. I'm certainly not driving a Porsche or Lamborghini, but it's a steady little thing. It's very nice. It's very gratifying for an old geezer.
No, you're pretty witty. You can hold your own, John. You can hold. Uh-huh. I think Bunny's got her hands full with you.
Worse.
Now, do you have any children?
Oh yeah, sure. I got children and grandchildren.
Okay.
I've got 4 children.
Okay.
And.
Anybody go into law or
yes.
No? Did they follow their dad or no?
My youngest daughter is a lawyer, and she works now. And she works in the United States government, and she's an executive in the Department of Labor.
Oh, okay.
And she's
must be
very,
very
proud dedicated.
Of her. Yeah.
I'm proud of all my kids. I've got I got one who's a professor at USC. I've got one who's a photo editor at the New York Times. And I've got one who's a very successful therapist. I don't know which. A family and whatever it is. Not a psychologist. She's that one level underneath that.
Yeah.
They're great.
Wow. How nice. I have one son. He went to Wayne State University. He got a full ride. Yeah, he did, but, I don't know. He loved the ladies, and he's got his own business right now. And, you know, I have a granddaughter that's just turned 17, and I was talking to her today about colleges and stuff, and she's kind of fly. She doesn't really know. And, you know, my son, I'm asking you this because of your background. She said, I don't know. And I said, well, you don't want to go away to school? I said, you don't have to. We have colleges here in South Carolina, not far. And she said, I don't know what I want to do. And I said, well, sometimes you don't know what you want to do until you get your feet wet. I mean, you can go and take some classes, and maybe the second year you'll say, well, I really like this area. I think I have to develop it more. I said, then you go and do that. But my son has really nurtured her, more so than my daughter-in-law. He's a math whiz. And so, I mean, she does really well at that. Her grandfather was a science teacher, my late husband. He was a science teacher. So, you know, she's got good genes, and she's got, you know, we talked a long time today, and she says, oh, I don't know. And I said, you know, sometimes you can get internships. And she says, it sounds like you should have gone to college. I said, yeah, but I didn't, you know. you know, but so I said, I'm going to live it through you. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, all right.
And I had her laughing so hard, John, you're going to laugh at this. You're going to remember it. I said to her, what I would really like to do is put you in your bedroom, put a lock on the door, and keep you there forever. But I said, you know, that's very selfish of me. You can't do that. You have to grow up. She said, I know. But, you know, she, there's something about her that she just pulls away when it's the thought of going to college. You know, she's a senior this year coming up. And I said to her, just take your time. My son said, well, no, she's got to go to school. I said, no, you don't want her to go away to school and be miserable and fail everything. And what's that going to do to her? No, you don't do that. You got to let her feel her way, get her bearings, right? You don't push anybody
right.
to do anything. It never works out that way. So finally he said to me, well, I guess you're right. I said, I know I'm right. Don't preach to the choir. I know I'm right. I went to beauty school. Nobody pushed me to do that in Michigan. I did that. I did here. I said, but, you know, with her, she really is good in the arts. She can really draw. We have SCAD over here in Savannah. Yes. And I was looking up everything before I called her, and she said, well, how did you know all this stuff? I said, look, I have three monitors in front of me at home. Do you think I just sit there and do nothing? I said, knowledge is power, I told her. Knowledge is power. I haven't learned all of this. I mean, I didn't even know this much when I was really young. I said, my brain is just kicked into overdrive. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I amaze myself sometimes. I said, see, you're very lucky. So anyways, but I believe that's true, John. I think you have to find your own way, you know. So my son actually...
I know you're right. Natalie, can I excuse myself? I have a couple of things I must take care of.
Yes. No, we're an hour in, and I've enjoyed this talk with you so much. And I'm going to get the book, and then I'm going to write to you and tell you what I think.
All right.
I'm not going to be disappointed, okay?
Oh, no. I won't allow it. Opportunity to talk to you and your people, and hope everyone who does buy the book really enjoys it.
Yes, and they can go to your site too. You have a site, you know that,
yeah.
Don't you? It's johnhowardsteel.com. That's STEEL, okay? And take good care of that lovely wife of yours now.
I will do that, and you take care of yourself and your son and your
I will, my granddaughter. Oh, yes, I shall. Thank you again, John, for coming
You're
on
welcome.
The show and agreeing to spending this time with me. You're a great man. You really are.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Good night.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye. Okay,
yeah.
Everybody,
bye.
Now, you know, I always end the show the same way, as we know, and that is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. So with that, I'm going to say good night. I have another show. Oh, you're going to love this show on Friday. Her name is Nikki. Nikki. What's her last name? Hold the fort here. I'll tell you in a minute. She has written, I have three of her books. I mean, she's written so many books. It's unreal. She's just... amazing. I mean, I don't know how anybody can put out all of these books. I don't get it. I really, really don't. But she's my guest from 3 to 4 on Friday. I'm going to go and get this book so I can say her name right. And her name is, it's Nikki Vandekar. Well, I have three of her books. She does books on witchcraft. Now, it's not the spooky kind of stuff. And it's, you know me, I'm of the light. So yeah, she's just, we've emailed each other, laughed in email. She says, oh my God, I can't wait to talk to you. So anyways, I look forward to doing that, and please join us. And this recording, of course, will be uploaded on the show page that you'll be able to hear this again. And I am going to send it over to my Pilates group. so they can hear about the man who worked with Joseph Pilates and get his book, The Caged, it's called Caged Lion. Now, just the name of the book, I forgot to ask him that, but just the name of the book tells you Caged Lion, okay? There's something in that name. So, okay, have a great evening. I'm going to go have my dinner, and I love all of you. Be safe out there. Wear your masks if you're supposed to, and take good care of yourselves and those who are around you. And above all, be good to everybody. It's a beautiful world, you know. Okay, good night. Bye-bye.